So today we are continuing to think together about connection. Last week we focused on connecting with God through prayer and worship. Truly, each way of connecting that we'll focus on this month has its source in God and is a way of connecting with God. Today, let's think together for a little while about connecting with our sacred stories, with our scripture, and how our own story is connected to the story of God and God's people that's recorded for us in the Bible. Our text today is taken from the book of Nehemiah, which is the story of the reconstruction of Israel after the exile in Persia. They're still under Persian rule, but are allowed to return home. Nehemiah wasn't a priest, and the job that God had given him was to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. This part of Nehemiah's story, though, is a reminder that spiritual and religious reform go hand in hand with political, social, and economic reconstruction. In the previous chapter of Nehemiah's book, there is a long list of exiles who have returned to Israel and settled back in their lives. In fact, it seems as if the book could have ended right there with a happily ever after, or at least for a little while. But there was more to be done, and the people recognized it. You see, for decades, they had been strangers in a strange land, and their collective memory of their God needed to be stirred. So the people requested that the priest Ezra read scripture, which for them was the Torah, the first five books of our Old Testament. They wanted to hear it read aloud. And so everyone, men, women, everyone who could understand the words was asked to assemble, and Ezra began reading. He read from early in the day until the middle of the day, about 6 hours. And as he began to read, the people stood as a way of honoring the scripture. As Ezra read and read and read, the people who were starved for the word hungrily listened to stories of creation, of Noah and the ark, of Abraham and Sarah, of Joseph and his brothers, of the Egyptian captivity, of Miriam and Moses, of the Ten Commandments and God's instructions for creating a community. I imagine them leaning forward, fearful that they'll miss a single word. In a world of doubt and despair, because even though they were home, they were surrounded by enemies. In a world full of questions about the meaning and purpose of their existence, they heard of God's glory, God's forgiveness, of mercy and of love, of God's intention for the world, and of the promise to make it all good in the end. After hearing this word and having it explained to them further by the Levites, the crowd was so moved that they wept. Can you imagine 6 hours of standing hearing scripture being read? It's pretty remarkable. If how we spend our time is an indication of where our hearts are, that speaks pretty plainly. Even more important, though, wasn't how long they listened, but the reason behind it. They were seeking to renew their covenant with God, to reestablish their identity as God's faithful people. And they recognized that listening to God's word was central to their identity and to the living out of their covenant with God. This book told the stories of their people, the stories that gave them their understanding of who they were and how they were related to God and to the world around them. It told the stories that had been repeated to their ancestors for generations before them, the stories that bound them together across the years, from Moses until the present day. And these stories had been preserved and continually read and told, precisely because that continual telling of them was the glue that bound them together in their covenant relationship with God. Scripture continued to be a place of epiphany, of revelation, of encounter with the living Spirit of God. And so when they had been off track and needed to renew their relationship with God, they knew that they needed to return to Scripture, to the practice of gathering together to hear and open themselves to the Word of God. If we want to be God's people, if we want to be followers of Christ, we too need to connect with our sacred stories, both individually and communally. The Bible is the story of God and God's people, the story in which every other story, including our own, belongs. While there is much history there, it isn't written to be a history or science textbook in the way that we know those things. That type of writing wasn't known at the time the Bible was written. But it is truth. It's a guide for us, but it's much more than that. Scripture reveals God's ways to us, not just to inform us, but to form us. We must engage Scripture not just with our minds, but also with our hearts. When we truly connect with Scripture, when we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through the Word of God, when we write God's Word on our hearts, it changes us. Because Scripture is both universally relevant and born from a specific context and culture, it can be challenging to read and understand. But the Bible itself invites us to courageously engage with those mysteries and those contradictions, to wrestle, to doubt, to imagine. Theologian N.T. Wright says it this way: Scripture contains many things that I don't know and that you don't know, many things we are waiting to discover, passages which are lying dormant, waiting for us to dig them out. Awaken them. We must determine, corporately as well as individually, to become, in a true sense, people of the book. People who are being remade, judged, and remolded by the Spirit through Scripture. The only way we can do this is if we first commit to reading the Bible faithfully. This week, our Connect challenge is to read Scripture daily. There are lots of reading plans available and devotionals that help to give some understanding to Scripture. I'm happy to provide those resources for you. But for this week, our goal is not to read as much as possible, but to dive deeply into Scripture to allow it to form us. Ancient monks had a practice of meditating on the same passage again and again, day after day. They called it chewing on the word, and it allowed the sacred words to move from their minds to their hearts and into their everyday living. As I was studying this week and looking at the word meditate in our psalm, I looked at some other places that that word is found in Scripture, and in most of them, it's translated rightfully as meditate. There's a passage in Isaiah, though, where that same word is used, and it says, even as a lion growls over its prey. And it made me think about, you know, the cats are going to make an appearance, right? In almost every Sunday. Sometimes it's on video, but today it's in a story. So our cat Natty has a favorite toy. She found it when she first came into our house. It was a toy that had belonged to cats that we had had in the past. It's just this rectangle that kind of crinkles and has a feathery tail. We call it Purple, just because it's purple. And Natty carries Purple around the house. We find Purple in the strangest places. But we always know when she's carrying purple because she makes this rally sound with purple in her mouth that you never hear her make any other time. And it's not because she's angry. She's protective, first of all. Don't try and get purple away from her. But also she's delighting in that. It's this sound, and it made me think of it when I was doing this research. That's the first thing that came to my mind was that possessiveness and joy, as if purple is her whole world in that moment. I think that's what this meditating may mean. That our whole focus is on God's word, and that we are taking joy in what God has for us, even as we may struggle with it a little bit. So this week, maybe keep that image in mind as you focus on scripture. Here's what our challenge is. I want you to choose an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage that you will read each day this week. The same two passages each day. Read them aloud. Write them down. Doodle and draw around them. Memorize at least a portion of it. Ask God to show you what this word can form in you to draw you closer to God and to the person God has created you to be. May the word of God dwell deeply in our souls this week and always. May we truly become God.